This is TalkBack, a public affairs presentation of the Beasley Media Group stations in Fayetteville. The opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Beasley Media Group, its management, staff, or advertisers.
And good morning, I'm Paul Johnson. Today is Sunday, May 29th, the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. This drops the green flag on summer, the unofficial beginning of lots of summer vacations and travel, and it's also the weekend holding the most solemn holiday of the year. 149 days of 2022 have gone by so far, 216 remaining till the end of the year. There's one day left till Memorial Day, 21 till Father's Day, 36 till Independence Day. It was 1903, Bob Hope was born, passed away in 2003 at the age of 100. John F. Kennedy, future president, born in 2017. In 1942, Bing Crosby recorded White Christmas on May 29. And in 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary scaled Mount Everest for the first time. 1980, Larry Bird beat out Magic Johnson for NBA Rookie of the Year. In 2008, on May 29th, we lost Harvey Korman, funny man. And we lost actor Dennis Hopper in 2010, on May 29th. National Donut Day is actually celebrated twice for donut lovers on November 5th, but a special Salvation Army reference taking place on Friday, June 3rd. You can get the complete history of National Donut Day on SalvationArmyUSA.org, and it'll tell you how the Dough Girls or Dough Lassies in World War I, who'd set up tents near the front line, would make and serve delicious donuts for the doughboys fighting the war. It was established as a national day by the Salvation Army in 1938. Our first guest, Major Tim Grider of the Sandhills region of the Salvation Army.
My history with the Salvation Army goes back to 1986, when as a month-long resident of the Oklahoma City area, my home was hit by a tornado. Your life is upended. You know, a tornado came along, lifted up the roof of my house, set it back down with my kids and wife in it, and they said, well, you can't live here for the next 6 weeks while we get this thing fixed up. So without any food, without any lodging, we were kind of left to the elements. With the Salvation Army and the Red Cross together, we were taken care of. And it's a debt that I feel like I can never repay, or at least in the business that I'm in, I can never shout from a tall enough radio tower of the good that the Salvation Army does. And thank you for that. Thank you for representing. Thank you for having the open house last week. And you've got a special opportunity for people to help the Salvation Army coming up this week. Can we talk about that?
Absolutely. We jokingly have been starting to call this Christmas 2.0,
yeah.
Because it's in the middle of the year, and that's on purpose. And, of course, it's called our National Donut Day.
Mm-hmm.
And for many years, this has really gained prominence, not just in regional areas, but across the country. And now we're finding out across the world.
Yeah.
National Donut Day, each country, as they decide how to allow us to celebrate. And
yeah.
Participate. But for us in America, one of the many things that we enjoy to eat are donuts.
Yeah. Amen to that.
With everything in the world on them or in them. And so we certainly take advantage of that opportunity here in the Sandhills region. And during my 4 years here, we've made the effort, in spite of the pandemic, to be sure to deliver donuts free to our firemen, to our police department, to our sheriff and their deputies, and to our frontline workers there at the hospitals in our regional area.
Wonderful.
And so that day is coming up already, and we will be doing that, spreading donuts of love to all those areas in our six-county area. And as we do so, it is truly with our love and our appreciation for what they do for us and with us. And if you talked about disaster,
yep.
Disaster relief, and we have a coordinator here. Many folks don't know that. I started that position after I arrived, thanks to Matthew. And then the ensuing Florence and having to respond. So Norman Zanders, he's probably out there listening. Shout out to him and for him coming into this position and really helping us to steamroll this forward, because it's a need. Fayetteville, we're close to the water. We already know by experience that hurricanes don't just fly by. They like to dump a few buckets of water on us.
There you go.
And make our rivers and our creeks and our areas that are already near sea level, as it is, rise. And certainly that causes need. And so as we've gone through that, including even the damage is done to our buildings, our facilities, our shelter, having to shut it down for 20 months and to get it fixed and back into working order. And our response is to white flag, as you call it here, but it's called inclement weather. And what we do during the winter, as well as during the summer, being open there for those who are in need. So a lot going on, plus our plans for the new buildings and the new campus. Now that the pandemic is over, we are looking forward to getting this back up and running, and we are.
Yeah.
We're nearing the end of our what we call a mission planning study, and it takes our strategic plan that my board and I have put together and vets it out and interviews almost 200 people across the six-county area.
Wow.
And so we're putting that together and finishing that piece up, and we hope soon we are deciding where we're going to locate and put us all into one campus. We are spread out right now, and it's very difficult on us when that with that situation, I should say.
Yeah.
And so we're going to campus style, and so we got to find land to fit us.
You will make a good decision, I am certain. And when you arrive on that, it'll be even better service to the Sandhills region, although I can hardly think of a moment when you've been needed that you haven't been there. And bless the effort that you have to reach out to the first responders all across the area. Six counties is what you serve.
Yes.
Really quickly run down those counties. If you
Well, of course, we start with our home base here, Cumberland County, and then Harnett. I stopped for a moment. Let me give you a quick census question to you and to those who are listening.
Yeah.
Did you know that in the 2020 census, two things happened? Harnett County was officially added to the Fayetteville metropolitan area. Did you know that?
Okay, I didn't know
officially,
that.
Officially, 2020, the government did that. So Harnett County is now officially a part of the Fayetteville metropolitan area.
Okay.
And then second, I guess it would be called the western half of Bladen County, there along Grace Creek on the other side, has also officially been added onto the metropolitan area.
Wow.
So the population of Fayetteville has now hit 1 million in the service area. So with that, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of activity and a lot of land to cover. And so as we do that and in our strategic plan, we are strategic. We right now have services on site in Robeson County there in Lumberton, Scotland, and Laurinburg, as well as in Moore County and Southern Pines. We're looking to relocate that to Aberdeen with a thrift store as well. And then, of course, Hope County. We all, God bless Hope County. They're known as West Fayetteville.
There you go.
So they are served by our location here as well, too. So with Harnett now, we are quickly looking to find an area there to set up shop with someone there.
That's
so
great.
With that expansion going on and covering all of that, certainly a campus is what we need to have all of our facilities, a thrift store and shelter and everything all in one location.
Wonderful. That's great. Well, how can we help with Donut Day?
Well, first of all, certainly it's just a recognition. We want to thank those who serve us. And in that, you know, I just because I take it for granted since we're in Fayetteville, that we all understand that the military are part of that.
Sure.
But certainly shout out to them as well, too, to our military service personnel and all those who serve. It's just gratitude because the story behind the Donut Girls, or the Dough Girls, as they called them, during World War II, and they went to the front lines. And those soldiers there had nothing. And so they just took some bread, some oil, and they made donuts.
Wow.
And so that is where it all began. It's just really that simple. The boys there that were serving called them Dough Girls.
Yeah.
And it became quite popular there along the front lines World War II. And so that service has continued since even today. And so as we do so, as we deliver the donuts out to those who serve our community, the way that people can be involved is several things. You know our programs.
Yeah.
And we are always needing volunteers, especially in the disaster region. And SalvationArmyDisaster.org is a way to go and to register for that. Another way to support certainly is to come and just to see what's going on at our thrift store.
Sure.
People don't understand that thrift store, its purpose is actually to be a fundraiser.
Okay.
The money raised at that thrift store supports our programs.
Okay.
And so that's its purpose. And then also as well, too, of course, folks know us during Christmas, and that's fantastic.
Sure.
but we're open all 12 months.
Right. Well, you know, and that's the biggest thing that we always need to keep in mind is that, you know, 12 months of the year, you know, you're collecting angels for Angel Tree and people in need.
And fundraising and, as well.
Yeah.
People don't know that 80% of our budget for the whole year is raised in 2 months.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. And so when that falls short, in this past year it did. The economy just sacked everybody this past Christmas. And we know that, and it hurt us greatly, too, financially. And so we're trying to recover, and so a way to do that certainly is to support. You know, you can go online. We have Salvation Army Sand Hills social media. You can go and hit as well, too, and you can give through that or just mail a check to or bring it by our office downtown on Russell Street. That's always the way to help support as well, too. And back to our thrift store, I'm sure you have stuff in your closet, in your garage that you've been wanting to get rid of, bring it to our store.
And that's right there on Robinson Street.
Yes, sir, right around the corner.
At Blunt, Robinson and Blunt.
Yes, sir.
And easy to find, and the hours are easy. I mean, there aren't too many times I go by that you're not open.
Right. Sunday's the only day we're not open.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good deal. Well, we want people to make sure that they contribute. My wife and I in particular are going through a ton of things that, you know, we've just kind of neglected in our busy lives, but we have found quite a few things that we can donate.
Yes.
And you're looking for things that are in great condition and just gently used, right?
Well, just to be able to utilize them, because those who come to us, while some are purchased, some are also given away to families in need. Disaster issues that arise, and we are the emergency site for that need amongst the agencies in our area. Burnout victims, eviction as well, too, and others who are just caught by some kind of disastrous need. That's what we're there for. So we certainly want to be able to give those items that are still usable to those who are in need as well, too. So not only just to sell it, to raise funds for our programs, but also to help those who come to us.
Fantastic. Well, we're looking forward at the Fayetteville Rotary Club this coming Thursday to hearing about the latest adventures, and you've got plenty to talk about.
Yes, sir.
With the Salvation Army of the Sandhills region, serving our region since 1887. A lot of people don't know that as well.
That's right.
But, you know, in the last 4 years, you've made your mark, and we sure appreciate your in charge. You've got the great team of people around you, including your disaster coordinator and including Chris Phillips, who's along with you today, helps with the community outreach and communications aspect. We can't thank you enough for all that you do. When people see at the shopping areas, the angel trees where you go pick up an angel, people don't understand you coordinate most of the toy giveaways.
Right.
And that's with Toys for Tots or any and all of them. You know, you've got a hand in this because you do such a great job at making sure that people in need get what they need.
Right.
And that's what the Salvation Army's hallmark has been for years and years. Major, I can't thank you enough for coming by today.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to having you speak to the Rotary Club and our group on Thursday. We wish you well. We want everyone to avail themselves of the Salvation Army Thrift Store as a means to find some cool bargains and as a destination point for some of the things that you may have too many of in your closets and so on and so forth, because we can all stand to help the people that are helping others in our area. And Major Tim Greider, thanks so very much. Anything else you wanted to add today?
No, I just want to thank everyone in our community who has been so faithful in supporting us during this time period. You know, as we look forward to our plans and campus to be named later, all that is happening ahead of us, we appreciate what they've done to date, and I know what they're going to continue to do to ensure that our ministries and our programs are running the way that our community needs them.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Major Greider. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Major Tim Greider of the Salvation Army. We'll be staying in regular touch. We mentioned that this Memorial Day weekend is generally the beginning of the vacation season. A lot of people will be taking to the roads, 1.2 million people in North Carolina this weekend alone. Nothing puts a damper on a vacation trip worse than car trouble. And our next guest from Eastover, Walter Brinker, has written a book,
Roadside Survival, Low-Tech Solutions to Automobile Breakdowns.
It costs $15, available locally at City Center Gallery and Books, but the advice inside is nothing short of priceless. Walter explains that 75% of car trouble on the road is caused by tire problems.
Our guest, Walt Brinker, the author of Roadside Survival, Low-Tech Solutions to Automobile Breakdowns. It's so timely that we should be talking about this today because people are going to be hitting the road this weekend. And you made a real important point during the break, and that is not only get a copy of this book, but spend a little bit of time reading it, right? Because ultimately, the information that's included here is not only convenient, it can help you out in a tough situation if your car is stranded on the side of the road, but in some cases, it can save your life. And let's talk about the little plywood square. And I thought this was really kind of cool that she said, you know, I met you a long time ago, I got your book, and I even carry my plywood square with me. It's stowed away in my trunk. And there's a real good reason for that, and that is if you need to change your tire, most of the jacks that come with vehicles these days, there's not a lot of substance to them. And if you were to end up in an area where the earth was soft, you could try and jack up your tire all day long, and all you'd do is end up sinking the jack in the soft earth. So that let's talk about that plywood square.
Well, the plywood square is 8 inches by 8 inches by 1/2 inch thick. It's treated plywood. I went to Home Depot and bought big sheets of that stuff, and I sawed them into 8-inch by 8-inch squares.
Okay.
And I used to give them to people. I now keep a stash in my car that I use myself.
Sure.
When I help somebody. But yeah, a lot of times the jack will have to go on grass or dirt, not on the shoulder, especially if the flat tire is on the right side of the car.
Yeah,
and then you'll need to jack it up, and maybe in the snow, maybe it just rained, but the ground will be inevitably soft. And you put the base of the jack in the center of that 8 by 8 inch square plywood, and that stabilizes the jack, so it's not going to be it's not going to sink in the dirt. At the same time, you want to have the driver put the handbrake on, and you want to put chocks on the wheel that's diagonally opposite the one you're changing so the car doesn't roll.
Right.
I've had a couple of real bad experiences before that burned in my brain that's got to be the case.
What would they use for chocks if they didn't have? Can you use a 4x4?
You can, but you can buy a pair of plastic chocks at the hardware store for $10.
Oh, okay.
It's nothing.
Okay, easy.
They're a lot much lighter weight, also. But if you don't have any, you can a lot of times look around where your flat tire occurred, and there'll be some debris sitting around. You can pull up and use that to prevent the tire from rolling forward or backwards.
There you go. Well, that's just excellent safety advice because if you raise a tire up and the car is not stable, it can fall down or it can get wobbly. It can be dangerous.
I was north of Lake Charles. Louisiana years ago, and I stopped for a young guy who had a van. It was a Chevrolet Suburban, and he had it jacked up, and he was under the vehicle trying to mess with something.
Yeah.
And the vehicle began to roll back when he was under it, and I yelled at him to get out, and thankfully he moved quick enough to avoid getting crushed.
Goodness gracious.
I had left to put out the warning triangles, and I came back, and there he was. But under the vehicle that was jacked up, and it was the thing was teetering, about to go, and it finally did go, but he managed to get out quickly before it hit him.
Wow. You know,
I'll never say I've seen it all, but I've seen an awful lot, and so I can back it up with stories that are true.
Well, that much I can believe. Let's talk about the top 10 roadside survival tips, which are, you know, right in the beginning of your book. And I'll let you begin.
Well, the most important thing, first off, 3/4 of all my assists are tire-related.
Yeah.
3/4. So right there, that's just huge.
Take a note.
That's just huge. And if 80% of spare tires are flat, that you do the math, that means that 60% of all the stops I've made, 60% have involved a low or a flat spare tire.
Wow.
60% of all those thousands of stops I've made. So you need to really pay attention to your spare tire. That's your regular tires.
Right.
You can prevent having a breakdown in the first place if you make sure that your tires are properly inflated
and aligned.
Aligned also, but inflated is, both of them are very important.
Yeah, yeah. Well, inflation is going to be the number one thing that keeps your tire up and going. In fixing poor wheel alignment, you can just prevent lots of premature wear on your tires.
Sure can. They'll be crazy. The wear patterns are just out of sight on a lot of these tires that I've changed.
Yep. Talk about the importance of having a tire pressure gauge in your glove compartment.
The tire pressure gauge is probably one of the most underused and undervalued items you can have. The proper pounds per square inch in a tire that's cold before it's been driven is on a decal on the driver's door.
Okay.
So you open the driver's door, and there usually on a pillar that's part of the vehicle will be a decal that'll have the tire pressure for the front tires,
yeah,
or the rear tires, and for the spare tire. And that's cold. That's before the vehicle's been driven at all. Because after the vehicle's been driven at all, it's going to increase. The pressure's going to increase inside. And so, for Pete's sakes, do that before you take off on a trip. And do it once a month or so. Just get out there with your tire pressure gauge. Check your tires. In my experience, this is real rough now, but tires tend to lose about a pound of pressure every month.
Right.
1 to 2 pounds per square inch pressure every 2 months. That means you've got to stay on top of that. And that's where having a compressor in your car gets real handy, because you can very conveniently do that.
Now, a serviceable spare, also vital.
Serviceable spare is critical. The spare tire is almost always empty.
Yeah.
I
nobody pays any attention to them.
I taught a class out at FTCC a couple years ago, and I had student cars there, or their families' cars were there. We had 10 cars, and 9 out of 10 had low or too low to be useful tire pressure in the spare tires.
Wow. Wow.
All 10 of them, the lug nuts were on too tight to be removed with the lug wrench, because the lug wrench handle was too short, and you couldn't get enough leverage on it. And so the $10 solution for that is a piece of pipe about 24 inches to 30 inches long that you can slip over the handle of the lug wrench handle, and that increases your leverage by 4 times.
Right.
And I have yet to find a lug nut that would not come off. If it wouldn't come off, I would twist his head off, and that would be it.
Well, that's it. Now, the thing that you want to try to avoid is standing
because what can happen, I've seen this happen, if you try and stand on the lug wrench handle, it's very likely to just pop off the nut and whack you in the shins. I've seen that happen several times, and it's not fun.
That can be painful.
And so the way to go is with a cheater bar.
There you go. Well, and that cheater bar is very inexpensive, but oh-so-handy accessory. Now, what about those air compressors that work off a 12-volt battery? Are they handy?
They are. They're very handy. I've used them several times. I keep you can run the power cord back to the vehicle's battery, or I have a 12-volt jumper battery, which I use to power the air compressor. Also, it's kind of a 1-2 punch. But if you don't want to extend the long cables for that pump way back to your battery in your car, then it's better to use a portable battery you've got.
Yeah.
Plus, that you don't drain the battery of the car, or you leave the engine on if you want to do that, so the batteries continue to be charged. Batteries that are dead in cars are also another zinger that can be avoided by not. I remember one time I stopped for a car in Texas, and the flat tire had a flat tire. So the owner of the vehicle and I got in my car with this tire. We took it to a tire store, came back, but the family had been playing the radio the entire time, and the car engine had not been on. The battery was dead. So after we put the fixed tire on the car. And I drove off, and I noticed when I was going back that the car was still up. So I whipped back around, and the battery was dead.
Right.
And so I gave him a jump, and that was it.
Wow. Well, one of the things that I like, and you've given us two warnings inside your top 10 to make sure that your tire age is not over 6 years, and an extra caution in rule number 6, that if you're towing a trailer, pay special attention.
That's because, as I think I said before, trailer tires tend to be older than tires on cars.
Sure.
And then they've passed the magic 6 year point. And I've seen the tire trailers that are 15, 20 years old, and they're just begging for a blowout.
Yeah.
But, I found that 90% of the time when a vehicle's pulling a trailer, the flat tire is going to be on the trailer because of what I just said. And so then it's a whole new way of changing that tire. I found the easiest way to do that with trailers is not to jack it up at all, but to have a ramp that you can fashion out of lumber in the trailer, or pieces of, you can stack these 8-inch squares of plywood up and loosen the lug nuts first on the flat tire, and then derive the, normally it's two tires on each side of the trailer. Use the other tire that's not flat to go up the ramp you've fashioned, and that gets the flat tire off the ground, where you can finish taking the nuts off and trade out and put a spare tire on, make sure it's got air in it, and then tighten it back up again and drive back on the ranch, and you're good to go.
Thank you, Walter Brinker. Again, his book, Roadside Survival, Low-Tech Solutions to Automobile Breakdowns, is available locally at City Center Gallery and Books, and it costs just $15. Now, the advice contained within is priceless. This week has been a hard week on America. Sometimes we need to wonder where the hope is. And that leads us to this reflection by Neil Ford, who reminds us there are more good people in the world than bad.
People think we're more divided as a country now than we've been in a long time. I know it can seem that way, but when I was a little kid in 1969, the Vietnam War was tearing the country apart. And they'd shot John F. Kennedy, and they'd shot Bobby Kennedy. They'd shot Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And there was the Manson family and the Zodiac Killer, and it just felt like the whole country had lost its mind. My father, who'd grown up in the Depression, well, his faith in humanity was just at a low ebb. And the two of us that June were driving from L.A. to Oakland in our old 1960 Oldsmobile, and the water pump blew out south of Bakersfield. And so this was long before cell phones, so we were going to have to hoof it like 9 or 10 miles into town when this young cowboy pulls up in a flatbed and offers to tow us in. And all my dad had on him for money was this old Chevron gas card, so he kept telling this young fellow, you know, I can't pay you. And the young cowboy's looking at him like, yeah, I wasn't going to charge you. So he rolls us into town, and this is a Sunday, so nothing's open. So he has to go get his mechanic friend to open up his garage, and my dad says, hey, listen, I don't have any money. And the mechanic says, you know, we'll work something out. And then they all realize they don't have the actual part, so now they got to go roust out the local auto parts store owner, and they bring him down. And my father's like, okay, we need to talk about how this is all going to get settled, because he just couldn't imagine anybody being this trusting about the money. So the cowboy says, look at that, it'll make you feel better. I got a bunch of watermelons I need to get loaded onto my flatbed, and it's pretty hot work, and if you help me out, I'll pay for the part. So next thing you know, we're all unloading watermelons from inside a rail car. That's about 140 degrees. And 90 minutes later, we are soaked in sweat. And up rolls the car, just running like a top. And my dad says, I really don't know how to thank you fellas for this good turn. And we're turning to go, and the mechanic gets this look on his face. And says, whoa, where do you think you're going? And you could see on my father's face just all the fear and distrust come to the surface. And he stiffened like a leopard. And the mechanic says, no. My wife's going to make us all Sunday dinner, and you and the boy can get a shower and a clean shirt, and it'll make the drive easier for all of us. So we sat down for a dinner of fried chicken from the chicken right over there and corn on the cob from the corn right over there. Man, I got to tell you, we'll never have a meal that good ever again. And my dad didn't say maybe three words the whole drive, but when we got home, I got into bed, and I was just about to turn off a light, and he stops in the doorway, and he says to me, no matter what you see in the movies or on TV or you read in the papers, you listen to me. That's how people really are. And about a month later, Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. So, keep the faith.
And that's our show for today.
This has been Talk Back, a weekly public affairs presentation of the Beasley Media Group stations in Fayetteville. I'm Paul Johnson. Stay safe. Have a great week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.